Welcome back to the City Journal California podcast. I'm Ben Boychuk, associate editor at City Journal magazine. And returning to the podcast is Tom Gray. He is a contributor to City Journal, and he's the co-author of a new policy paper from the Manhattan Institute. It's called The Great California Exodus, A Closer Look. Tom Gray, welcome back.
Glad to be back, Ben.
Well, Tom, the paper is all about Californians giving up paradise for the godforsaken climes of Arizona, Nevada, and a number of other states that you detail in the paper. Why don't you just give us a brief précis of the paper, what you found, and how you found it?
Okay, it's basically a history and more of a current look at what's going on. This is a phenomenon that we wanted to nail down, and you know, when we call it the Great California Exodus, it's really something that's been happening over the last 20 years, and if anything, has been accelerating. But it started sometime around 1990 in that recession. So we wanted to get at the causes of it from two directions. One was historical, trying to figure out why it started, what was going on at the time, what might have triggered it, and what has kept it going, and what has made it accelerate. Then to look at data, particularly from the IRS, which follows taxpayers from state to state. They don't do it literally, of course, but they record when a tax filer goes from one state to another. They have data year over year. We had data going back to 2000, in other words, the first decade of the new century, looking at where these people were coming from and where they were going. And the IRS data is quite good because it doesn't just say which states people go to from California or come from to California. They also talk about what parts of California, what counties, for instance, what metro areas they leave to go to, and to which states they go from those metro areas. So we had quite a bit of data to work with. So we looked at that for patterns, finding out which states are favored when people leave California. And to some degree, we might go deeper into this, who knows, in some future study, but to some degree, we can tell pretty closely what areas of California they come to go to certain states. For instance, the Inland Empire and it wouldn't surprise you a lot. It's a big feeder to Arizona, but also to Texas. And of course, you mentioned Arizona and Nevada as two states that get a lot of Californians. We were especially focused or especially interested in Texas because it's not a neighboring state. It's not a state where you have a lot of proximity, where people might have like weekend knowledge of it and so forth. They would presumably go to Texas almost for one reason only, and that is jobs. And over the last decade, according to this IRS data, the most popular destination state for Californians who leave the state is Texas.
Okay.
Followed fairly closely by Arizona. And also, as the decade went on, Texas kind of gained momentum as the favorite. It was the big favorite at the end of the decade.
And so, do we have a good idea who these people are and why exactly they're leaving?
Yeah. What we have so far is not so much who they are, though there are hints. There's further data which basically comes from particular years. It doesn't show long-term trends, which gets into data, demographic data like age, education level, ethnicity, and so forth. What we looked at was a rough picture based on tax returns, and you can tell quite a bit from the tax returns, though. For instance, you have numbers of aggregate income, you have numbers for the numbers of exemptions on the tax returns, and the number of filers. And the number of exemptions is roughly equivalent to the number of people. All the IRS really misses are people who don't file, like, say, some seniors who may not file, students who may not file, but it gets most of the people, and it certainly shows the trends. Well, what's interesting we found in terms of the some of these clues from the IRS data is that people who leave, say, California for Texas have a fairly high number of exemptions per return. I think the only higher number was about Utah. What that suggests is that people who leave are families. People who come to California tend to have low numbers of exemptions per return. You see what I'm saying? And a given tax return will have, say, two exemptions means two people.
Sure.
Obviously. And a family would have any number of people in the family, dependents plus the filers. So the more exemptions you have per return, the larger the household, the tax filing household is going to be leaving. So Texas seems to be a destination for families much more than coming the other way. Other states seem to be more destinations, smaller, with smaller return, exemptions for return, maybe retirees or maybe younger people. People coming to California tend not to have that large number of exemptions for return. So what we're thinking from that, one thing you can deduce from that is that Texas in particular might be the one of the preferred destinations for working families, which is actually a bad sign because you're losing, as other people have said, you're losing the middle class with that.
Right.
Yeah.
By and large, you found, if I'm not mistaken, you found that people are leaving for states that have lower taxes. What are some of the other reasons that they're leaving California for? What are they going for?
Well, from the data, and again, this is deducing from the data. We don't have people saying why. You know, nobody ever says why they leave. You know, there's no survey saying why they leave. You just have to kind of make inferences. But with California, going back to the history, first of all, back to 1990, one thing that strikingly happened in the 1980s was that California's home prices, which have always been on the high side, but maybe not no worse than, say, New York's or better, depending if you own a house, no worse than, or better than, say, an eastern state, they soared in the 80s. They went way, way above national medium. I think the median home price in 1990 was like something like 240%, and it was two and a half times as much as the national average. That, I think, was one driver, and it still drives the exodus from California. If you can think of the logic of it, there's two reasons that might be a reason to leave. One, if you're a retiree, you might be familiar with Arizona and Oregon or Washington State, and a lot of people do this. You know, you can cash out. You know, you can sell your house in California, get some liquidity, buy a cheaper house in those states. It's kind of like a version of the snowbird effect. People are moving to South Texas or from the Midwest. That happens, and those states that people go to tend to be lower tax states, especially Nevada, which has no sales tax, no statewide sales tax, no income tax. Arizona, which has a lower income tax than California, appreciably lower. Texas isn't, and I'll get to that in a minute, but then Oregon, I like to go to Oregon, and of course it's close to California, a lot of Californians are familiar with it. It does have income taxes similar to California's, but it overall the tax burden's lower, especially if property values are lower because, you know, the property tax, and it doesn't have a statewide sales tax either. So, and Washington State has no statewide sales tax. So California is a tax disadvantaged state in proximity to the other states. Now, Texas and the states where people go for jobs is a little more complicated, we think. Now, Texas, of course, is a low-tax state, no income tax. And the cost of housing is lower, too. If you think about people moving for jobs, they're moving to follow jobs. The people who really make that decision about where to go are the businesses, the business owners, the corporations. They will take a number of things into account. Taxes is one of them, taxes on business, and it does so happen that we also took data from Tax Foundation, Milken Institute, and others who measure these things. And we did find that California tends to rate much lower on these business climate measurements like taxation and other things than other states do. So they are at a business disadvantage. Well, that's one reason what businesses will do. They'll go for lower taxes. They'll go for less regulation, less uncertainty about what's going to happen down the road, and obviously lower labor costs. And lower labor costs, of course, relate to lower housing costs. So all those things kind of work against California in favor of places like Texas, Oklahoma, North Carolina, Georgia, other states that get quite a few Californians. Now, the uncertainty, I don't want to get too far into this one, but the uncertainty factor is especially intriguing with California. We call it like fiscal distress being a very important factor for businesses. Because if you think about it, California's had a chronic problem, especially the last 10 years, of failing to legitimately balance its budget, let's say that. It's always doing some trickery, or it's just running debts, running deficits, not calling them that.
Right.
Well, if you're a business and you're looking for states to locate in, and you're looking at costs down the road, you don't want to go to a state that can't pay its bills, that can't balance its books, because what's going to happen, you can reasonably surmise, is that you go to that state, 2 years there, things will be still bad, and taxes will go up, and it will probably go up on you, on businesses or on business owners. And California, of course, may be doing that through actually three initiatives. The most drastic one is the one back by Jerry Brown, which would raise the top income tax rate to 13.3%.
Right.
California may be about to do that in November. Well, you can see why people are afraid of that. Bringing that around to California, California's had the worst credit rating in the country almost most years since 2000. It has the worst credit rating now. It had the worst credit rating early in the decade. It's never been very good, and it generally loses out to states that have much, much better control over their finances.
And so I want to talk a little bit more about that political policy nexus for a moment, because it seems to me that there is a link between the uncertainty that we've been discussing. There's, you mentioned Proposition 30, which is Jerry Brown's proposed tax initiative. And there are other things that are also coming coming into play here. For example, the implementation of AB 32, which is global warming law that we have in California. All of these things seem to be a factor. Now that's not something that you necessarily address directly in this paper, but there is a relationship.
Yes. We had to round it off somewhere because we were trying to be data driven. We are data driven, and we're trying to keep to the trying to explain why things happen.
Right.
But you mentioned, of course, the AB 32 implementation. It is at a very critical point right now because they are setting up the cap and trade system. The fear of businesses, which is again apparently legitimate given what's happening, is that it will not just be a straightforward cap and trade system where everybody gets basically allotments for carbon emissions that pretty much reflect what's going on now, and they get them free so they can trade them. There's going to be an auction of about 10% of them, where the government, state government, intends to get net about $1 billion. And of course, what that raises, the specter of that, is that it's actually a tax. It's simply a carbon tax. In other words, it's a carbon tax in disguise, and the state will continue to find ways to raise money through AB 32. And, of course, the people who pay directly for the carbon emission trade-offs are businesses, especially businesses in manufacturing that manufacture farming that use, a lot of energy. They will be paying kind of a stealth tax, and it might get very large. And that's another element of uncertainty that they're facing right now.
For a policymaker who's looking at the paper and who's looking at the data, and it's very rich with data, what would be one or two takeaways in your view?
Well, there are many factors, but there are a much more limited number of factors that can feasibly be changed through political action. You can't really do much about housing prices, and you don't want to, because people have so much wealth invested in their homes. But you can certainly do something about taxes. You can not raise taxes in ways that penalize business. You can hold back, even if AB 32 is popular. The global warming law is popular in California. It survived a challenge of the ballot box by about 2/3. Maybe not frontally attacking AB 32, but aggressively, and policymakers and businesses and people who lobby for business, I think have to be very aggressive about keeping it from becoming a tax. It's already restrictive enough, but in that part may be hard to change. But I think the calling the state out basically on trying to simply soak businesses with it is also a legitimate policy goal. And then with taxes, of course, the kind of do no harm principle right now is probably the best one, because you have actually three initiatives on the ballot, which in various ways penalize business. I think Brown's was probably the most, as I said, the sharpest blow, the hardest blow. On the spending side, and this is a political challenge, it's maybe more challenge than just stopping an initiative, but California has to have some kind of limit placed on the growth of spending. It did have that in the 80s, which was, of course, a very, very good time for the state. And it had that in Prop 13 as well. And it had a fairly serious spending limit, which, in fact, even at one point resulted in some money, I think, was going to be rebated to the taxpayers. And then, it was basically a real limit that the state had to live within. I think you have to get back to that. And then finally, regulation, which, of course, is a huge body of regulation on business, but there are some particular regulations that business finds onerous that can be addressed. And this, of course, is taking on unions and, maybe some popular opinion. But California, for instance, has the strictest overtime rules in the country.
Right.
They are different, and not only strict, but there's more limitations on how people have to be paid overtime than any other state. Things like that. And those business owners will complain about that quite a bit. So there are certain regulations, and then going after these targets, I think, would send a signal.
The paper is The Great California Exodus, A Closer Look. The author of the paper with Robert Scardamalia is Tom Gray. Tom, thanks again for talking with me.
Thank you, Ben.
And thank you for listening. You can download The Great California Exodus from the Manhattan Institute's website, www.manhattan-institute.org. And, of course, check out City Journal and City Journal California, www.city-journal.org. For the Manhattan Institute and City Journal, I'm Ben Boychuk. Be well.